Welcome to week two of Advent. And this week, what you're going to do is ponder, as the Holy Spirit gives you some information, hopefully from the words I'm giving you today, and ponder about peace this week as we are preparing for Jesus, to celebrate his birth, but also as we're preparing our hearts, as we kind of talked about last week, for him to eventually come again, right? So last week, we talked about hope, and you guys are experts on that. You're welcome. Okay, I didn't do anything with that. And I just want to touch base about some things. I mean, we're going to talk about peace today. And the Advent reading was perfect for this to kind of give you a picture of what's going on in the culture and the times at the time. They talked about the Roman suppression and how they wanted to have their land back and how they were reigned by a group of people, the Romans at the time. And I want to just remind us, we kind of talked about that last week, right? We kind of setting the stage last week to show that things were not all peachy keen hunky dory fine, right? There was a lot of hostility and things that were not peaceful when Jesus comes into this world. Just for the regular everyday person doing their thing and whatever they were doing at the time. And the Advent reading did a great job of speaking to that. And I want to take a look this morning just real quickly at the two individuals that are going to help bring Jesus into the world, as the Advent reading did, Mary and Joseph specifically. And I kind of want to just set the stage of what they're going through, because I think, as I think Tony's part said, you know, it's easy when we have our little lights and our, you know, our candles lit and we're sipping our hot chocolate to forget what really was going on at the time. And it wasn't so peaceful. Has anyone ever been on a trip and you failed to make reservations? Anybody? Okay, let's say you didn't fail, but when you got to your place, you go to check in and the reservation is not there, like you thought you did, but it wasn't there. That has happened to me. We made reservations, Pastor Tosh, made reservations. I know, she has no idea what's doing this. We made reservations to go to St. Augustine. Well, we made plans to go to St. Augustine with my in-laws, her parents. And we get up there, we get up there, and Tosh is like, I got my reservation. She goes up there, and it's for the wrong date, okay? I am here to tell you that if you go on a trip and you do not have reservations, it is not very peaceful, okay? There is not a lot of peace. Mary and Joseph went to a place and had no reservations, okay? Now, luckily for us, God did open a door. And I will say, it was Valentine's Day weekend in St. Augustine, which I didn't know everybody. Every couple in the world decided to go to St. Augustine for a romantic weekend because I was with my in-laws. And it was a little challenging, but we did find a place to stay. We didn't come back. I was like, it's canceled. We're going to have to come back. But luckily, thank you, God, he opened up a door. Literally. It's not peaceful, okay? I'm just saying. It's just not peaceful at the time when you're going through that. You're traveling, okay? Secondarily, has anyone, and the Advent reading talked about this, but I wanted to bring this to light. Has anyone ever been to a working, full-fledged barn before? Yeah, I knew you would raise your hand, Jane. Jane grew up on a farm. Farms were everywhere near me. And boy, my grandpa had cows in his barn. And if I walked into that barn and took a nice big whiff, there was not peace to be had, okay? It was not peaceful. There's dirt, manure, hay, grandpa's old tractor with oil leaking out of it. John Deere, 620, still runs. Anyway, it's not peaceful. Or if you haven't been to a working barn, imagine you go to a state fair, at the end of the state fair, and you go to the 4-H building where they have all the donkeys and the horses and the cattle and the chickens. Go to the end of it in the summertime and then take a nice big whiff. You get the idea, right? Not very peaceful. Then thirdly, the miracle birth. It is an absolute miracle. I have never done that myself. But I do know that at the time, after talking to other people, my sister, for example, it's not very peaceful at the time. okay? Miraculous, but not very peaceful. So we got all this going on. We got reservations that were not made, not peaceful. Smells, not peaceful. Pain that Mary's going to go through, not peaceful. And the Prince of Peace is coming into this. The point of this is the fact that Jesus' birth experience, it was the total opposite of what he was. He was a king. He was the Prince of Peace. And there really was a lot of things a lot of hostility and things that you wouldn't chalk up as, yeah, that's peace. Everything around his birth, the political environment, the actual environment that his earthly parents were in was not peaceful. And that's kind of the point. That's kind of the point for us today. As we get into what really peace isn't what's going on around you. It's what's going on inside you. That's what true peace really is. It's not about the environment that we're in, but it's about what's happening within us. And what's happening within us, if we let it happen within us, is Jesus is happening within us. He came to earth so we could have peace. He was the Prince of Peace. And he came to bring us that in his humble, not so peaceful beginnings. Before we get to our scripture for this morning, I really want to talk about what peace really means. Because the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Anybody heard that before? Yeah. But when I started doing some research on that actual word, and that was the word that was used for Jesus and Isaiah as the Prince of Peace, when I started looking at that, at the word, the actual word shalom, it's more than just an absence of conflict. It's more than no wars. It's so much deeper. It means a lot more than just one word of peace. It means tranquility, wholeness, completion. The benefits of this kind of peace that we would feel in our life is good health and satisfaction, success, safety, prosperity. That's what peace is. Not just an absence of war, which would be amazing, correct? But all of those things that shalom really is about stuff that's inside us that's given to us by our Savior Jesus. That's the kind of peace that I want us to make sure that we're reflecting on this week and that we're talking about today. It's not a warm, fuzzy exterior feeling. It's a deep inside feeling that affects practically every part of our life. And that's only found in one person, Jesus. Today I want to go to Ephesians, and I will say it Ephesians, even though I've been told that that is the incorrect way to pronounce Ephesians. Ephesians. You can take the girl out of Indiana, but you can't take Indiana out of the girl. Ephesians 2 is where we're going to be today, 14 through 17. And I'm going to say Ephesians as much as I possibly can today. And I will take a poll about who says it how later, but that's irrelevant at this time. All right, Ephesians 2. Now I just hear it. 14 through 17. I want to read this first, and I am reading out of the NIV version. I'm also going to reference something later. It's the NLT, but we're going to read it right here. So starting in 14. For he himself is our peace. Paul's writing about Jesus. He himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and had just destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. This is Paul writing, and I was really surprised that I wasn't going to be in Luke or something, some gospel about Jesus being peace. God took me to this, and I'm like, okay, I get it. There are three things that I got that I hope you get today about this scripture reading about Jesus and peace that I want to touch base on. Three things. First, at the very beginning, Paul's clear. He says, he himself is our peace. Jesus is peace. And I hear a lot of times at Christmas that he came and he brought peace. He brought it by him. Do we get that? He is the peace. He is peace that we need. Through no one else, through no other person, through no other thing that you can do, no counseling, no self-help book, no anything, can you find peace. It comes through Jesus. Paul also writes later, he writes in Philippians. I don't know the timeline, so I hate to say later, but he also writes in Philippians that we have the peace that passes all understanding with Jesus. That means it's like peace we can't comprehend. Who wants peace we cannot comprehend? Please sign me up for that. Please. Mind-blowing peace, life-changing peace that we can only get from one person, and that's Jesus himself, the Prince of Peace. Remember the definition of shalom? Tranquility, safety, wholeness, completion. Oh, man, that's Jesus. We see in verse like 15-ish, Paul is writing about two groups of people. Those two groups of people were the Jews and the non-Jews, a.k.a. Gentiles. So there was Jewish people and everybody else. And Paul talks about how Jesus reconciled those two people to be able to live in harmony and peace with one another. Wow. At the time, the Gentiles were totally excluded from a relationship with God. That caused a lot of hostility and a lot of lack of peace for a lot of people. But now with Jesus, Paul writes and tells us that that hostility is gone. We are all one body of believers. We are all one people under God, under what Jesus did for us. We all now are children of God. Through Jesus, our peace. How in the world did Jesus do that? I'm so glad you asked. The second thing is, Jesus creates peace. He made peace for us. He makes peace, he creates it. How did he create that peace? Through what he did on the cross that's represented right behind me. According to this reading in 15 and 16, I want to read this. By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in his one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. This is when I like to flip back to different versions. So the NLT version says it like this. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in him one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. When Jesus did this, he created peace for all of us. It doesn't just apply to our relationship with other people. It applies to our relationship with God and also applies to our own minds and our own hearts. Jesus lives in all those places. The way to true peace is through the cross and what Jesus did on the cross to create peace. He came, he is the peace, and then he made peace happen for what he did for us for salvation. You get that? The last point here is that Jesus proclaims peace. So first is Jesus is peace. Secondly, he created or made peace. And thirdly, we see Paul writes that he proclaimed peace. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. He proclaimed peace. To proclaim something means that you announce it, you declare it, you make it known openly and publicly. Isn't that what Jesus did with his life and his ministry? He taught us all peace by his words and his actions. What a beautiful example of peace we have in our Savior, in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. some things that he taught us with his words is that peacemakers will be blessed and they will be called the sons of God. That's in Matthew. He tells us that he is leaving us with peace that this world cannot comprehend. John 14. He calms the storm when there's a big storm happening and the disciples are all freaking out. Peace, he says, be still to the storm. So many times we see him act as a peaceful man up to the time he made peace by doing what he did on the cross. Even then he was peaceful and non-hostile. He proclaimed peace all day, every day, up until his death, the ultimate proclamation of the way to peace. Jesus is peace. You get that? He created peace for us. He made peace for us. He made it happen. And he proclaims peace, or he proclaimed it and still does through the Holy Spirit, right? Shalom. Tranquility, safety, wholeness, completion, security. That's what peace is. And that peace can only be found in our Savior Jesus. That is the reason he came for us. To give us that peace that passes and blows our mind, passes our understandings. We cannot comprehend it with our human brains. This morning, I'm not sure what's going on in each of your lives or what you might be unsettled about or what you might be anxious about. But I'm sure there's something that each of us can work on that we need peace in. And I ask that as the musicians come forward, I'm going to have Pastor Tosh, Ellie, and Deacon Charlotte come forward, and they're going to do a song for us. As they sing this song for us, take in the word shalom. Take in the peace that's going to happen in this place as they sing. And I ask that you really listen to it and let this music and this song penetrate your heart. You can have shalom in your life. We all can have that peace. You do believe that, right? Please believe that with me today. But all you need is Jesus. And if you're looking for it through something else, I'm giving you the answer today. My prayer is that we all look at our lives and make the change. Make any change that we need to give whatever we need to Jesus to give us peace in that situation. May that be the prayer for us individually and as a church, that Jesus can be our shalom.